Give me ears to hear.
Give me ears to hear.
Eyes to see.
Eyes to see.
And a heart to perceive.
And a heart to perceive.
What you're talking to me about.
What you're talking to me about.
So that I can grow.
So that I can grow.
And mature.
And mature.
And become.
And become.
More like Jesus.
More like Jesus.
Than ever before.
Than ever before.
We're going to be looking at John chapter 3, so you can kind of find your way to John chapter 3. But before that, I was pressed this afternoon to look at an awareness of God being inside of us on every level. We can declare from the word that we are masters, we are conquerors, we are overcomers, because we are one with him. We have his ability, his wisdom, and his strength, and his love. We are spiritually free men. We abide in God and God abides in us. That's a reality. 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells us, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God. God is love. If we walk in love, we will walk in wisdom. When love governs our life, we will say nothing that injures anyone." Now that's pretty hairy, isn't it? Say, when I walk in love,
when I walk in love,
and I'm governed by life,
I'm governed by life,
nothing will come out of my mouth,
nothing will come out of my mouth,
that
will injure
anyone. Proverbs 6:2 says, "Thou art snared by the words of thy mouth." Now, when we're snared by the words of our mouth, it's an afterthought that comes in and we realize, oh my God, those words were not love. Those words were not based in love. They were based in actions, reactions, control, blah, blah, blah. Do you ever see yourself trying to bring peace with the natural abilities versus bringing peace under the anointing of intercession? It's a whole different set of rules. Amen?
Amen.
So you remember Proverbs 6:2, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth." Snared means you're captured. And you're not aware that you're captured until after the fact. Because you're usually on a roll. Right or wrong. And that's a little bit about what we've talked about right now. Okay? Most of you talked about how, whoops, I did it. And after, oops, what do you do with it? Okay? We would never have signed that paper had love governed us. We would never have entered into a contract if love had governed us. We might not have married as we did if love had been our master. I've related to many people, "Are you sure you want to marry for the right reasons?" And I can't tell you how many people that I've counseled who told me they just wanted out of their circumstances, so they married. It wasn't out of love. It was the escape that was legal. And it's not love. If we had yielded to love, let it have dominion over us, the mistakes that have marred our lives would never have taken place. Take a deep breath on that one. If we had yielded to love, let it have dominion over us, the mistakes that have marred our lives would never have taken place. Love is the final analysis Love, in the final analysis, is wisdom. It has caused us to create, invent, and search until we have discovered things that will make others happy. Love, in the final analysis, is wisdom. It has caused us to create, invent, and search until we have discovered things that will make others happy. Love will make us thoughtful, gentle, and tender. Take a deep breath. Say, love.
Love.
Will make me thoughtful.
Will make me thoughtful.
Gentle.
Gentle.
And tender.
And tender.
When we speak, there will be something in our voice that will win people to us. We will not only be in earnest, but we will speak wisdom and love. When we love people, it's easy to work for them. Everything that has life longs for love. In my ministry, I found that the whole world was love hungry. They put up with their old selfish human love for the want of something better. But oh, how they respond to the Jesus kind of love. Boys and girls are love hungry. They go to the arms of a lover with utmost freedom. If you want to reach them, love them. Never scold. Don't criticize. Don't tell them how bad they are. Tell them how good they may be. Never preach sin. Preach its cure. Yeah. Preach its cure. Tell men and women that God so loved them that he gave his son for them. Tell them the story of love's unveiling, and you will win their hearts. When they ask for bread, don't give them a stone. Give them the bread of life. Don't give them your philosophy about love. Unveil Jesus to them. Jesus is speaking in John chapter 3. And he's speaking to a man who is a teacher of Israel. He said, are you the teacher, verse 10, of Israel, and yet you do not know nor understand the things? Are they strange to you? I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, we speak only of what we know. We know absolutely that we are talking about what we are talking about. We have actually seen what we are testifying to. We're eyewitnesses of it, and still you do not receive our testimony. You reject, you refuse our evidence, that of myself and of all those who are born of the Spirit. If I have told you of things that happen right here on the earth, and yet none of you believes me, how can you believe, trust me, adhere to me, rely on me, if I tell you of heavenly things? And yet no one has ever gone up to heaven. But there is one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man, who is and dwells, whose home is in heaven. That's the amplification. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert on a pole, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on a cross, in order that everyone who believes in him, who cleaves to him, who trusts him and relies on him, may not perish but have eternal life and actually live forever. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction or be lost, but have eternal life and everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. He who believes on him, who clings to, trusts in, relies on him, is not judged. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him, there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation, but he who does not believe, nor cleave to, rely on, and trust in him, is judged already. He has already been convicted, has already received his sentence, because he has not believed on and trusted in the name or the nature of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let him trust, rest in Christ's nature or name. The basis of the judgment, indictment, the test by which men are judged, the ground for the sentence, lies in this, that the light is come into the world, and the people have loved the darkness rather than, and more than the light, for their works and deeds were evil. For every wrongdoer hates and loathes and detests the light and will not come out into the light, but shrinks from it, lest his works, his deeds, and his activities, his conduct be exposed and reproved. But he who practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light, so that his work may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought with God, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him. Learning to depend upon him was one of the greatest challenges, and I still struggle with it, because I'm so accustomed to being reactionary. And I don't do it on purpose. I don't even do it while I'm thinking about it. It's just happens. And most of the time, I see the old nature jumping out, and I can't pick up the spilled beans. They're just everywhere. And that's when I cry out for mercy and I give thanks. Because if I can't give thanks and God can't turn it around, I stay in the position of deception. And learning how to love was one of the commissions that was given to Bob Jones when he passed away in 1975. And he didn't want to come back to the earth. But the Lord said that he would be training people for a last day generation. and billions of teenagers would come to the Lord. And when I was at that conference a month ago, one of the things that was brought out, that there would be people over 50 that would be teaching the younger ones. And that was the purpose of part of this conference. He says, I'm not picking on the kids, and I'm not picking on the young people, but the older ones are going to be able to be parenting the broken. And I'm sure that you can look at yourself and whatever parenting you received, whatever type of legalism that you lived under in your own home, it probably wasn't perfect. There might have been broken people bringing you up. Anybody know that broken people bring up? So you're a byproduct of broken people. But the thrust out of this message that I was pressed to read, learning how to love without condition. I had an experience in the past few days, and I was asked to, I thought, you know how you perceive, it's going to be a nice evening. Don't have to cook dinner. We're going to just enjoy a nice dinner. Well, the enjoyment came about 4 hours later, and I worked from the moment I left to the moment I came back home. There was zero enjoyment. It was work, 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 work. And as I pondered, Lord, my expectation was to have a nice dinner, just, you know, enjoy the moment and enjoy the people there. Instead, it was serve, 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 work, 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 serve, 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 work, 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 until we finally came home and I was able to sit. And I could hear the prompting. Anybody know about the complaint department and the voice of complaint? You're familiar with that one?
Yes, yes. I'm familiar.
How I was able, well, it's only because of God's grace, I am not taking any credit, to be able to just say, thank you, Lord. Sat in my chair, Lord, this was definitely a time to serve. My expectation was a time to enjoy. Mm-hmm. It turned into a time to serve. Mm-hmm. How well do you do when it's time to switch your thinking? Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. How well do I do? Well, I didn't do it quite all right. Okay, I'm not saying that I opened my mouth now, but I could feel some of the pressure on the inside. The soul wants what it wants all the time. The mind, will, and emotions are geared towards selfishness. And the sooner we keep that truth inside of us, we will not be angry with us, because God loved us enough to send his son so that he could teach us the new way. That's why Jesus came. Some people look at Jesus as, oh yes, he's the son of God and we worship him. Oh yeah, you do? When are you going to live like him? That's what he asked you to do. Follow me. Follow me, he says. Well, what does that mean, to follow him? Respond the way he responded. He ran into a prostitute. What did he do? Loved her. He ran into all kinds of situations. He served. He didn't come to be served, he came to
serve.
And when I look back afterwards and I said, well, I guess it was my time to serve. And all my godly expectations of having a night that was going to be different, it was different. Very different. Amen?
Amen?
So what am I asking you to do tonight? Just close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
we're coming to you.
We're coming to you.
Because if it wasn't for your Holy Ghost,
working from within us,
doing a work, that only He can do, and I've got to rest, and enjoy the trip, whenever He tells me to serve, let me press in a smile, and do quickly. What He's called me to do. And if the complaint department opens up, quickly close the latch. And lock the door. Don't let it go out. Of your mouth. Wisdom says. If you put foot in. It's not going to be good. It's better to keep it closed. And keep the foot out. Put it on the ground where it belongs. And serve quickly. There are some that are more broken than me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hosaratikiara seriaro saranara hiaro tonoma yaratea rotonoma yaratea rotonoma